Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Story time.
I believe I was visited by a Bigfoot. I was living on my family's 3/4-acre property, heavily wooded with a year-round creek at the back and a mobile home. The location is approximately 8 miles northeast of Grants Pass, Oregon. I believe this happened in the fall of 1978. I had moved from Southern California to Oregon, and on the night of the visit, I was home alone. I had been asleep, and I estimate it was around 2 a.m. when I was awakened by heavy, bipedal footsteps moving around my 12 by 60 feet mobile home. Pine needles scattered on the grass seemed to magnify the weight of the steps. Despite being an experienced hunter and fisherman, I had never felt anything like that night, the eerie sensation and fear of something outside my trailer stomping around. It's worth noting that my nearest neighbor was 100 yards away on their 3/4-acre property. No human would have been wandering around my trailer at that time of night. I sat up against the headboard of my bed with my rifle, shaking and scared, with the hair on the back of my neck standing up. I couldn't muster the courage to get up and look out the window. After some time, the visitor walked away, and I eventually dozed off until morning. I didn't tell anyone about this experience due to the fear of being ridiculed. But I want to emphasize that this truly happened. My family used to vacation in Southern Oregon annually, and during a 3-day stop at the KOA in Longlois, we became friends with the camp host. We were told that about 3 weeks before our visit, a highway patrolman had reported nearly hitting a Bigfoot about 5 miles north of the campground. Needless to say, it provided great campfire stories on subsequent evenings. On the second night of our stay, something came through the thickets on the north loop of the campsite and disrupted some campers in their sleep. It wasn't until daybreak that the damage was revealed, knocked over camping essentials, canopies down, yet surprisingly, no food containers or ice chests were touched. This ruled out the possibility of a bear, as the damage was practically systematic. Ron, the campground maintenance guy, asked me, I was 15 years old at the time, if I wanted to go tracking to figure out what had torn up the campsites. He thought the chances were it was a big cat, possibly smaller bobcats. Anyway, we set out around 11 a.m., and within minutes, we quickly found out this was no cat. The down thickets gave way to small trees crushed, reinstating the possibility of our intruder being a bear. We continued on, and as the thickets thinned with less tree cover, we lost our track. Within a few hundred feet, we came to a clearing and discovered it was an abandoned logging camp. The machinery there wasn't modern and probably dated back to the 1930s, with no roads in or out. Ron had worked there for 2 years and had no idea the camp existed. There was a small stream running through the camp, which Ron believed was the same stream near the highway. So, we changed our route and hiked upstream. About 200 feet upstream, I noticed a series of holes leading away from the stream, up a berm. The ones closest to the stream were deep holes, but the ones further away were footprints. By my estimation, they were around 17 to 20 inches long. I wore a size 12 then, and these prints were substantially larger, and where my 180 pounds stood, I left no depression, whereas the prints we saw were nearly 7 inches deep. As we followed the prints further away, the ground cover became more substantial, and the prints faded into the forest. I vividly recall there was an odor similar to a skunk, though not exactly like one. It was distinctively pungent but not overwhelming. We eventually found Highway 1 and headed south back to the campground. Before we arrived, Ron asked me to keep our findings under wraps so as not to panic or alarm the campers. We left 2 days later, and the memories have stayed with me over the years. For the record, the weather was clear, and the temperature was in the mid-60s. Thank you. Pasadena, California. I'm a ranger at Grand Canyon National Park in Arizona. It's an incredible job, and I get to meet so many new people. Apart from the obvious scenic advantage, the management there provides amazing service. Our rooms and stations are nice, and they renovate every year before the massive tourist rush. The meals are delicious and fulfilling. Anyway, yeah, I love the job. You might know that Grand Canyon National Park also shares a boundary with the Navajo region. One of the questions I'm often asked by visitors, especially since I patrol that side of the park, is if I ever have any strange experiences on that side or if the Navajo people are spooky. According to our training sessions and briefings, the Navajo like to stay to themselves. That's a big reason why I have not really seen them near the park before. Now that I think about it, it was just the other day when I saw an older Navajo man, about 70. He had a hunched back and the typical Native American getup. I approached him and asked if he needed help navigating since he looked lost. As soon as I did, his eyes opened wide and he grabbed my hands with a really strong grip that even hurt a little. I don't think the old man had that much strength left in him. He pulled me so I was staring into his eyes at eye level, and he spoke in a very hushed voice. He informed me that he had been looking for me since that morning but had only just found me. When I asked if I knew him, he said that was irrelevant. His next words shook me. He was seeking me out to warn me about my death. I was speechless. I kept asking who he was. I didn't know what to think about it at that point. I asked him what he meant, and he told me one of the tribesmen was trying to learn magic and they fell prey to the evils they could achieve with it. He was apparently said to become a skinwalker. Now, I don't know much about the Navajo people's beliefs or their faith in local stories or any other religions or factions' beliefs, but I didn't believe any of it. They were fairy tales to me, fictional stories. They sounded so absurd, and that's what I thought at the time. The old man was telling me tales, and I figured he was delusional, especially since he was so old. I shrugged off his words and began to walk him towards the gate that would lead him back to the Navajo region. The entire way, he kept shaking and repeating, as if in a trance, that I needed to stay inside my cabin tonight and I should not come out no matter what happened. I led him to the gate, where there were some other Native Americans already waiting for the old man outside. To my surprise, as soon as they saw the old man with me, they ran up to us and took the old man away at a speed that really made me think. Anyway, I watched them walk off and disappear off into the distance. I came back inside and got back to my daily duties and checking. The rest of the day was rather uneventful, with the exception of a couple losing their kid in a park. We immediately helped them, and thankfully we found the child. After sunset, I went inside my unit and took a break. I ate some food and relaxed a little while I was laying on my bed reading a book. I heard this shriek in the distance. It was faint, but I heard it loud and clear. I turned to look at my radio, anticipating a voice on the other end saying something about the shriek, but there was nothing. I waited for a few more moments, the radio was still quiet. I just shrugged and went back to my reading. I heard the same sound again, this time a lot louder and closer. I was up and gearing up already. I thought maybe nobody else heard it, even though it would be strange. I left my firearm inside as I didn't think I needed it, and I rushed outside in the direction of where I thought I had heard the sound come from. It was a dark night, and it was quiet, which is why the rustling in the distance was so clear. I heard the shriek again, and this time, it sounded like an injured animal. It came from behind a tree. I began to approach it slowly and stopped dead in my tracks when something emerged from behind the tree. It was something I can't really explain. It was bent down on all fours and growling while looking down. There was drool coming out of its mouth. I took my flashlight from my pocket and flashed it over it. That was a big mistake. The thing immediately hissed and stared directly into my eyes. They were pure black, and it scared me. I turned around and ran back. I had nothing to defend myself with. I could hear the thing running behind me. I ran in the direction of the ranger station, went inside, and closed the door. I went into the security room and checked the cameras. The one focused on the door outside the station showed that this thing was chewing on something, but I couldn't tell. Then it started walking away again on all fours. I stayed in the station until the thing was out of sight. I double-checked all the cameras, went outside, and straight to my room. The next day, I told the other rangers about it in the morning. They checked last night's recordings and were as freaked out about it as I was. We were now extra careful that night and the night after, but we never saw that thing again, and I could not get the old man who had warned me earlier out of my head. I was working when this happened. We were letting people out from a popular tourist attraction in our national park, and I was busy directing traffic. It was a very busy day, and I had been doing that for roughly about an hour and a half when I saw something that's going to be hard to describe. Directing traffic in a national park is far easier when you work in the summer months. The weather is warm, which was nice as it made for reduced operations on my part. The sun at the time was low in the sky, and people were trying to take photos all around, making it pretty busy. Once the car had stopped for me to tell them where to go in the park, they were taking their time getting out. But then I heard the people in the car start scrambling and yelling. I looked over in the direction where they were looking, and off there, I saw this thing. It looked pretty tall and muscular, like a man with hair that was matted and rough looking. It appeared to have some hair on its face, but I couldn't see it that well before it quickly disappeared. The people in the car were freaking out, and I was trying to maintain my professionalism and hold it together while giving this poor man directions on where he was supposed to go. All this while trying to ignore what I had just seen, along with his family in the car, who he kept screaming at to be quiet. I kind of just shrugged it off my shoulders and let it be, but talk about creepy. I wanted to share something that happened to me last night. I work as an intern in one of the industrial areas in Pune, and often my days stretch into the late hours. Last night was one of those nights. I was leaving the office on my bike, and it was already dark 1:30 a.m. The streets were deserted, and the only illumination came from the occasional streetlight casting long shadows across the road. As I navigated through the area, I couldn't shake off this eerie feeling that I was being watched. Then, something caught my eye. At first, I thought it was just a trick of the light, but as I got closer, I realized it was something else entirely, a dark, looming figure lurking in the shadows between the buildings. My heart started racing as I slowed down, trying to make sense of what I was seeing. The figure was tall and hunched, with glowing eyes that seemed to follow my every move. I could feel a chill running down my spine as I watched it, unable to tear my gaze away. Without warning, it began to move towards me, its movements unnaturally smooth and fluid. Instinct kicked in, and I hit the gas, speeding away as fast as I could. The creature let out a guttural growl that seemed to reverberate through the night, sending shivers down my spine. I didn't dare to look back until I reached the main road, bathed in the comforting glow of streetlights. When I finally stopped to catch my breath, I realized how shaken I was. What had I just encountered? It felt like something out of a horror movie, but it was all too real. I rode home as fast as I could, the image of that creature burned into my mind. I know it sounds crazy, but I can't shake the feeling that what I saw last night was something beyond explanation, a true encounter with the unknown lurking in the darkness of the MIDC. So, if you ever find yourself riding through those deserted streets late at night, keep your eyes peeled and your wits about you. You never know what might be lurking in the darkness, waiting to make its presence known. I am legitimately terrified and don't know what to do. I've been trying to research online to find out what this could possibly be, but information about such things is super vague, and most websites aren't safe to browse. For the last 5 months, my family and I have been living in Kelso, Tennessee. For the past 2 weeks, I've been taking my dogs out early in the morning, having a cup of coffee, and smoking a cigarette, just my normal routine every day. We do have skunks and other animals that live out here, like deer, bobcats, wild dogs, and coyotes, just the regular things you'd find in a kind of backwoods area with lots of trees and woods all over the place. But anyways, back to the incident from 2 weeks ago. I've noticed a decaying, rot-like smell that dissipates after a little while in the early morning. My little sister thinks it could be carrion birds, vultures, or whatever, because we do have those out here as well. I'm really not trying to sound crazy, but there's really no evidence of big birds in the trees surrounding our place, no big feathers, feces, or signs of them sleeping at night. Tonight was absolutely unreal, though. I haven't seen anything because I was coming home from work and have been super tired, so I figured it's just my mind playing tricks on me. I get feelings when I'm being watched, and I weirdly have a sense of danger before it happens. As soon as I pulled up into my driveway, my motion sensor light outside was on. Yet again, not unusual because of wildlife, but the neighbor's dogs were having an absolute fit. It was probably around 10:45 p.m. I slowly had my headlights go across the yard to check for wild animals because I own two small dogs, and I didn't see anything, so I thought, okay, maybe other dogs have a pack of coyotes going through the yard or something. Before I put my key into the door, I felt that sense of danger, the hairs on my arms instantly spiked, and I heard some god-awful noise that normal animals wouldn't make. Bobcats make a weird sound, but nothing like this. I can't even describe it. I walked inside and grabbed my smaller dog first. She's easier to manage because she's like 7 pounds and almost blind, a 14-year-old chihuahua. I've got her in my arms, and as soon as I walk outside, everything is quiet, eerily so. Her white fur stood up, and she went into almost a guard mode. No dogs barking, it all just stopped suddenly. It was nearly pitch black outside, so I couldn't see anything, but I got that feeling instantly again. I heard some more weird noises and some leaves rustling. I hoped it was some deer, but usually, they take off whenever someone approaches. This did not. Whatever it was just kept slowly going. I had to take my other dog out, and same thing. She's a little younger, a 30 pounds mixed breed, but same thing, bristled fur like she knew something was there. I ran inside as fast as I could. I walked out on the back porch to smoke, and it felt like I was being hunted. I got that danger sense again and said, "Screw this," and ran back inside. I turned off all the lights, hoping whatever this is will go away. Does anyone have any ideas about what this could be? I can go look around the property tomorrow for any kind of tracks or fur, but I ain't going out there right now. Screw that. LOL. In my 20s, while living in Ohio, I had a chilling encounter with what I believe was a dog man. It was around 9 o'clock, just myself, my roommate Dan, and his girlfriend Chris at the time in the house. They were in a different room while I was in the kitchen cooking for us before settling down to watch a movie. At first, I heard tapping on the window, not a knock, just a slight tapping. It was so quiet that I didn't bother turning around, but I was sure that's what I heard. Then came a rubbing noise, like when you wipe water off a window. You know the noise I'm talking about. That's when I turned around and saw this huge wolf looking in the window at me, breath fogging up the glass and everything. This creature's head was colossal, giving you an idea of just how big it was. It was larger than any wolf, dog, or coyote I've ever seen, even on episodes of The Wild Kingdom. Its mouth was slightly open with a long pink tongue curling out, and it had huge yellow eyes, big long ears at the top, and a dark gray color. It resembled a German Shepherd but much larger and with the wrong color. I exclaimed, "Holy!" Which probably came out more shrill than a yell. The creature just stared back at me, unfazed. Naturally, I ran from the room, grabbing a kitchen knife as I did, and ran to my friends, hysterically trying to tell them what I saw. They didn't believe me at first. Chris thought I was pulling their leg, and Dan thought it was probably just the neighbor's dog. But the window was so high that even if a dog were outside, it would be above my head. This thing had to be 7, 8, maybe even 9 feet tall. I challenged them to go into the kitchen and see for themselves. They did, and as they saw this creature still at the window, looking around the kitchen curiously, they screamed. Dan started yelling at it to go away, but it didn't seem fazed. Chris and I were pulling at Dan, trying to get him out of the kitchen. Eventually, the creature turned around and walked away, but it walked away on two legs, confirming it wasn't just an ordinary animal. After that encounter, we immediately left, drove to Chris's house, and called the cops. Unfortunately, they dismissed us as pranksters, and we spent the night terrified. The next day, Dan and I decided to break our lease and leave the house. This experience left me shaken, and I'm convinced that what I saw was a dog man, not just a regular animal. I was a 14-year-old male living in a trailer home in Northwest Willamette Valley, Oregon. One night, my mom asked me to take the dog inside. Since my dog was extremely old, this was a process. Anyways, I opened the trailer door and called out my dog's name. I yelled Sadie in a high-pitched voice, and a couple of seconds went by. Then, I heard a distinctive high-pitched voice in the darkness in front of me say Sae. This startled me, but I continued calling my dog's name. Again, I yelled Sadie, and a couple of seconds later, I heard say E. This back and forth went on a couple more times afterward. After the fourth or fifth time, I slammed the door shut and started having a panic attack. I called my mom and asked her when she'd be back from work. She said it would be 10 to 15 minutes. I explained to her that there was something outside and that I couldn't bring the dog inside because of it. She said I was imagining it and got mad at me for leaving the dog out there. About 11 minutes later, my mom came home from work, and that was the end of it. Some context. I don't believe it was a human messing with me because it was miles away from any town. Additionally, it was winter and super cold, so I doubt anyone would walk that far from town in those conditions for a prank. When it mocked me, it didn't correctly say Sadie, but I could tell it was trying to say it. It said Say-E, which is what comes out when you try to say Sadie without using your tongue. This leads me to believe it didn't have a tongue. I don't believe it was a skinwalker or wendigo because they are not known to be in the region. When I was a little kid, I lived in St. George, Utah. My parents weren't too worried about me staying up too late during the summer because we were in a safe neighborhood. One day me and my friend saw some large bat-looking creature. It was in the middle of the street under a light. We started walking towards it. Then my mom yelled that food was ready. My friend turned around and ran to the house, but I didn't. I kept on walking closer and closer until my mom got annoyed I wasn't coming in. I'm still not sure what I saw, but it wasn't normal. I'd like to preface this post by stating that until very recently, I've always been a skeptic of things like cryptids and supernatural forces. However, I genuinely can't explain what I heard or experienced last night. At around 1:30 a.m., I stepped outside to smoke, as I've done every night before going to bed. A few minutes went by before I heard what I initially thought were the neighbor's roosters going crazy. It struck me as a little weird because I've never heard the roosters at this hour. They usually do their thing around 6-ish. Nonetheless, I shrugged it off and continued smoking. As I took another hit, I heard what sounded like a rooster call again, except this time, it was closer than before. Still, I didn't think much of it and continued smoking. A few more minutes passed without hearing the rooster or anything unusual until, out of nowhere, I heard what I can only describe as a rooster call mixed with screeching, almost like a sound from ABO2 Zombie but less droning and human sounding, coming from behind my fence. At this point, I completely froze and looked down at my pipe, realizing I had a few hits left. I wasn't going to let this disturbance ruin my night, so I finished the bowl and started walking back inside. When I reached the door, I heard the creature run off. From the sound of its running, it seemed about the size of a large deer, but I'm not entirely sure because I never saw the creature. It definitely ran on four legs, though. I live in a town called Katy, specifically Old Katy. If anyone in the area has had similar experiences or knows what I heard and saw last night, any information would be greatly appreciated. I want to share an experience I had while training with my National Guard unit at Fort McCoy, Wisconsin. I was attached to a unit in my prospective MOS while in the program. I don't really want to give specifics on my service, as the community is small enough to identify me to my peers. In 2014, my platoon decided to conduct nighttime land navigation at Fort McCoy from 20:30 to midnight. While the Army is typically all about buddy pairs, night land nav is one of the few cases we can do things solo if we so choose. Having done night land nav plenty before, I step off alone, compass, map, and headlamp in hand. For those who do not know, land navigation involves seeking out markers on a course by plotting their coordinates on a map and moving there via terrain reference and compass. At night, this is typically done without light as much as possible. When light is used, it is red. This minimizes damage to night vision. Ostensibly, these methods also keep you concealed in a tactical environment when employed with noise discipline. I bring this up so you can understand a few things about my circumstances. I was moving through the woods while making a token effort to be hard to spot or hear. The woodland I was in was part of a larger forest system but was frequently traveled. That night we had some 15-ish soldiers clomping around. My illumination was a toggleable headlamp but was toggled to be red when turned on. To cycle to white light I have to turn it off twice. My assigned points will take me to the other side of the course and back. A good hour and a half of walking as the crow flies. They're more or less in a straight line, so I estimate 2.5 hours out and back. I know if I come back too early I might be given another set of points. So I resolve to walk out, take a break for an hour then mosey on back. The first half of this goes as planned, I get my points without much trouble and wind up sitting on a hillside at around 10 at night. It's cloudy, but the moon is full. I can see well when the sky is clear, and poorly when it's not. Occasionally, I see a red light bobbing in the distance below me. Once a pair of platoon members pass down the hill from me, using white light to try to read their map. I startle them when I ask if they need help. At the end of my break, there's no more motion in my area. Most people had likely already walked out and back, or they were too lost and took the handrailing road home. I'm feeling pretty at one with my surroundings, having sat in the same spot eating stale Skittles for a good long while. Owls hoot, trees sway, all is well. I trot down my hill and step through some brush. I'm in a clearing where prairie intersects forest. There are some dead trees in the area, one of them is split halfway up. At the top, 15 feet, I can make out a head and shoulders silhouetted against the clouds backlit by the moon. I walk up to ask how they got up there, and if they're stuck, when the shadow twitches and I get the impression it's turned toward me. I stand there looking at it, and it's maybe looking at me. The situation feels off, but I'm not going to let a battle buddy punk me. I ask if they need a hand. Mid-sentence, the moonlight comes back. The thing on the tall stump is not a soldier. This moonlight glimpse is the best look I get at the thing. It looks like a stretched out bald person. Its long arms are clutching the stump. I can't make out the face, but it looks pinched. By that I mean I couldn't see its eyes or mouth like they were small and in the middle of the head. It's skinny like it hasn't eaten, but it's tall and obviously strong to have made such a vertical climb. It was definitely facing me, it probably was the whole time I was in the clearing. Maybe since I came down the hill. Maybe my speech startled it. I swear loudly. It rapidly scurries down the trunk. I flick on my red light and catch it on all fours moving toward the brush line in the direction I'm heading. Automatically, I keep toggling the lamp to be in white light. That means it goes off, then to flashing red. In the flash, I see the thing at the wood line, but I think it's flipped around and is backing in, probably to keep eyes on me. In the few seconds it takes for me to get to the white light it's gone. I scan the tree line which is silent. When it moved there was a scraping noise, plus the woodland brush is dense. If it was still running I would hear it. I reason that it must have stopped. It must still be watching me. I fumble out my knife and keep looking around the woods in front of me. After ages, I start inching along a perpendicular path to my initial route of travel, an angle that will link me up with the hardball road that runs up and down the side of the course. Once on the road, I can take it back to where my platoon is parked. My major problem is that the road is 10 minutes of walking away from my current position, mostly woodland. That can't be helped, I have to get out of the clearing first. My progress on that front is painfully slow. I'm fighting my natural urge to freeze in place like a deer in the headlights. After sidestepping a good 10 meters I hear a corresponding rustling and think I see movement. It's enough to get me to turn and bolt, right into a down log which trips me. I scramble up to my feet and look back to the wood line where there is an audible commotion. I glimpse a leg and butt moving back into the woods. At this point, I'm done with the whole situation, but
selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I don't want to run again. I start power walking to the road, turning to look as much as I can while seeing what the thing is doing. Over the movement of my own kit, I can hear it moving alongside me, parallel. As I near the end of the clearing, I think I hear it picking up pace as if to cut me off. I make the decision to sprint. When I enter the woods, my path is clear, but I think I can hear it in my periphery. I don't stop, and run hard until I hit the paved road. I bite it hard a few times along the way but recover with a frantic speed I cannot consciously replicate. Once on the road, I run perpendicular to the forest until I don't think I hear it anymore. I'm winded from my breakout run. From the middle of the road, I have good visibility and decide to walk to catch my breath. It's quiet for a while. Then I heard a branch move around 30 feet in the air from the woods I had just fled. I snap my gaze up and see a pale ovular face, half in shadow, peeking at me from around a trunk. I take off again. After way too long, I make it back to the headlights of our LMTVs. It's 1215. What happened, cadet? Did you get lost out there? You're covered in mud, did you fall down? Why are you out of breath? I got lost on my way back. Yeah, I rolled down Pike's Peak. I ran to get back in time. LOL. Cadet was lost. I knew better than to claim I saw a monster. Already my reaction had left me feeling foolish.
In the years since drilling at FMC, I have never experienced anything like that again.
McCoy does not have a history of disappearances, as far as I know. Neither do the two closest towns, Sparta and Toma. I've done night land nav alone a few times since without issue. This is less from courage, and more from me deciding I must have misinterpreted a situation. Thanks for reading. I grew up in the Finger Lakes region of New York. I had an encounter when I was 13 years old while lying in my bed and by my window. The window suddenly opened and this terrifying creature crawled in. I immediately hid under my blanket, held my breath, and urinated on the bed because I was so afraid. I slowly looked over the blanket and saw this giant bat-shaped man with claws on each foot. He had large black membrane wings wrapped around him. The head was all black and it was shiny, almost illuminated with an aura around it. I quickly went under my covers and stayed there. Nothing happened, I didn't hear anything. I immediately told my mother how sorry I was for the bed and she insisted that it was my imagination. She did place a nightlight near my bed. A few nights later, I walked into my bedroom after visiting the bathroom. I walked into the room and the same giant bat-shaped man was standing on my bed. I tried to scream but couldn't utter a word. He hopped off the bed, bent down, and looked at me directly into my eyes. I heard a voice, but it was only in my head. It was a male voice that said, "Don't fear me. I am your father." I had never met my father. He had died before I was born. I must have passed out because I woke up in the morning, lying on the bedroom floor. I got up and ran to my mother's bedroom. She wasn't there. I was scared. Did the bat-shaped man take her? She eventually came home about 30 minutes later, after going to the grocery store. I told her what had happened the night before. She looked shocked but didn't say a word. I asked if the bat-shaped man was my father. She still would not give me an answer. In fact, she never said anything else about it. My mother passed away when I was 16 years old. She committed S. I never got an answer to my question. I'm 43 now with my own family. I wonder if I will ever learn the truth. The bat-shaped man never returned. I moved to Mingo County, West Virginia 3 months ago. I will say that I don't live in a town. I kind of like to live quietly and away from people. That's why I'm writing you after I found your website. My property is surrounded by forests and a variety of wildlife, which I enjoy. But I've been experiencing something quite unusual the past several weeks. I'm hoping you can tell me what's going on. I first noticed rocks and pebbles on my patio table. I would remove them, but the next day there were more. This occurred 3 times on consecutive nights, so I decided to place a motion detection cam directed toward the table. Nothing happened for a few days, but then one morning there were about 20 baseball-sized rocks on the table. I immediately checked the cam, but the only thing that triggered it was a raccoon that made a visit. It did look like the rocks were on the table by that time, 3:35 a.m. I still set up the cam, but nothing triggers it other than a few small animals, but the rocks continue to show up. This is not the only unusual activity I'm having, and I'm wondering if there is a connection with the rocks on the table. I was sitting on the patio one evening, trying to read. But I was hearing odd noises coming from the woods, in the direction of a stand of huckleberry bushes. I figured it was just small animals or birds, but then it started to sound like giggling children. I watched for a while until it became too dark. But I was curious, so I continued to listen. After about an hour, I suppose it was 9:30 p.m. or so, I witnessed 4 orbs quickly rising from the bushes and soar into the woods. The orbs were bright white and about 10 foot in diameter. It was quite a sight and I was amazed. I stayed outside for another hour but didn't notice anything else. I've got a story that may be hard to believe, but I avow to you that it is completely true. I have lived on the same property in Smith County, Virginia all my 68 years and I have seen a lot of strange things, though I believe all were natural. But there is one thing in my woods that I have never been able to explain. The first time I saw it, I was 16 or so and squirrel hunting in the late afternoon. I was sitting on a large rock watching a den hole in a large hickory tree, when I noticed a hairy man running in the hollow below me. It was covered top to bottom with short reddish-brown hair. The hair on its head and face was very long. I think it was around 7 feet tall. It made a hell of a racket moving through brush, crashing branches, and grunting up a storm. It then turned around and did the same thing on its way back. I stood up and quickly made my way home. I never said anything to my folks about what I saw. That's the last I had seen of this thing until this past October 2023. I was dragging old tree branches down into the woods when I stumbled on a tree root. I twisted my knee badly and couldn't stand on it. I lay on the ground in pain, trying to figure out what I was going to do. Then all of a sudden, I wake up on the porch bench. It's totally dark. I reach over and turn on the porch light. How did I get here? Then I noticed mud on my clothes and mud on the porch floor. There was also a pile of hand-sized creek pebbles on the porch table. I had seen these piles of pebbles throughout the woods for as long as I could remember. That's when I realized that the hairy man in the woods must have brought me home. I wondered if it was the same hairy man I saw when I was a boy. That's the only explanation I can come up with. I don't have any neighbors since I'm living on the ridge. May I see it again one day? I work retail in Washington, D.C. I'm checking this sweet old couple out of the register. Having a wholehearted typical retail worker speaking to customer conversation and then boom. I look into the husband's eyes for the first time. This man has jet black eyes. The store goes silent. No one's speaking. I'm overcome with an overwhelming feeling of dread. I wasn't exactly terrified, I was more entranced. Again, the whole store is dead silent. It's as if I've been gripped from my reality and brought into this old man's dimension. I wish I could tell you I looked at my surroundings to see why everyone went quiet, but I was just so overcome with a plethora of emotions staring into this man's completely black eyes that I just physically couldn't look away. And then just like that, the man leaves with his wife. I hand him his receipt, and he takes his things and leaves. I was out of breath. I had to take my break early. I'm ashamed to admit I was almost ready to cry. I've literally never been through anything, and I mean anything like that. I did some research when I got home and I found out a lot about black-eyed children. What was strange about this situation was that the man had to be in his late 70s. What could this mean? It's just so hard to imagine a man casually wearing black contact lenses. And these weren't enlarged pupils. There was not an ounce of white in his eyeballs. And that feeling of dread, the silent store, and the time that seemed to go on forever. This had to be an encounter. I know what I saw. And I promise you all this story is 100% true. I'm worried no one will believe me. I searched for a room to rent for more than a month. Every night, I checked Craigslist, hoping to find a room I could afford. I wanted a place with a reasonable security deposit and where all the usual bills were included. The problem was that most rooms on the website were too expensive or had extra costs not mentioned up front. I needed a room not too far from my workplace, which was the American Museum of Natural History. I worked in the curator's office there. The room I was staying in would soon be unavailable because the landlord was selling the house. So, all of us living there had about 6 weeks to find a new place to stay. Now, already 4 weeks had passed, and I only had 2 weeks left, so I started to worry. But one Friday evening, I saw a new ad on Craigslist. It said all the bills were included, and they only needed a small security deposit. The pictures of the place looked good, and the best part was it was just a 5-minute walk from the American Museum. I called right away and told the landlord, Mason, that I was interested. I asked if I could see the place tomorrow. Mason said that was fine, and we set a time for 4 p.m. The next day, I arrived on time and went up the stairs to the big old house. Instead of a doorbell, I used the old star door knocker, as there didn't seem to be a doorbell. Strangely enough, I knocked on the door, and a man of medium build named Mason greeted me. He seemed to be in his 40s or around that age. Mason told me they were doing some renovations inside, so it might get a bit noisy during the day. I said it was okay because I'd be out for work most of the time. I asked if they worked on weekends, and he said no, only on weekdays. Then he took me upstairs to see the room. It was clean and a good size, with the usual furniture like a bed, wardrobe, work table, and a couple of chairs. But Mason told me the room didn't have a TV, which was unfortunate. He asked if I had my own TV, and I said yes, a small portable one. As long as there's a place to plug in the antenna, he pointed to the far wall and said, yes, right over there. Then Mason showed me the bathroom, which was just down the hall, the first door on the left. He said it had both a bath and a shower, so I could choose how to bathe. I quickly checked the room, and it seemed fine, even though it looked a bit old-fashioned. Mason mentioned that he would rent out a couple of other rooms too, but they were still being renovated. It might take a couple of months before there are any other housemates. I said I had no problem and was ready to move in right away. I asked, "How soon can I move in?" Mason replied, "It depends on when you make the payment." He explained that I needed to pay 1 month's rent up front and a small security deposit. Then he took out a rental document from his pocket and said, "You'll need to sign this contract for a minimum of 6 months with the option to extend for another 6 months. Once I receive the payment, you can move in the next day." I read the contract quickly, signed it, and handed it back, saying, "I'll have the money ready by Monday. Can I move in with my stuff on Tuesday?" He agreed, and everything was set. Tuesday came, and I had parked my small rental van out front. I had hired it to move all my boxes and things from my old place. Luckily, My friend and work colleague, William, came along to help. He and I were good friends outside of work, and he often assisted me with various tasks since I was not very strong. I'm 5'5" and female, and I needed help to lift the heavy boxes. It would have been nearly impossible for me to do it alone. We knocked, and Mason answered the door. I've come to pick up the key so I can start moving my stuff in. Mason nodded and gave me two keys with the letter E on the tag. I looked at the keys and said, E? That's for Ellie, right? That's what I signed on the contract. He smiled a little, which felt a bit strange, but I didn't think much of it and took the key with the letter E. Then he mentioned that his wife had passed away last year, and his son was away at college. Currently, he was the only one in the house, except for the builders during the day. He said if I had any issues, I could come downstairs and knock on his door on the left side. During the day, it was at the end of the corridor on the left, and that was his room. So after Mason gave me the keys, I joined William to unload the van and fill up my new room. Once I finished unpacking, I dropped William off at his home, thanked him, and said goodbye. Then I returned to the house and settled into my room.
Since it was a long day and it was already 9 p.m., I had a quick and not so great dinner.
It was a random microwave meal I put together, something like a fish pie if I remember correctly. Later, I tried to watch TV, but the signal was bad with broken sound. Feeling frustrated, I gave up, turned off the TV, and spent the rest of the evening scrolling through my phone. I was very tired, so before going to bed, I decided to visit the bathroom down the hall. I looked for my wash bag, towel, and toothbrush, and then I headed down the hall. It was quite dark, so I tried to turn on the hall light, but it didn't work. I had to be careful and make my way in the dark. Luckily, the bathroom light worked, so I could see inside. After I finished taking a shower and brushing my teeth, I had a strange feeling like someone was watching me. I looked around the room to make sure there was nothing there. I figured it was just my imagination playing tricks on me due to being tired and stressed, so I went inside my room, locked the door, and changed into my bedtime clothes. I turned off the bedside light, looked up at the ceiling for a moment, and then closed my eyes to sleep. The next thing I knew, I woke up under the covers and sensed that someone was in my room, moving quietly and slowly around my bed. I wondered, am I imagining things? I held my breath and thought, should I scream or try to jump out of bed and run to the door? Or maybe both? But I was so scared that I couldn't even move my body. The person continued to walk around my bed with a small light. As it came closer, it stopped, and I could hear their breathing, slow and steady. Then I heard a voice speaking slowly and calmly. It was Mason, my landlord. I sat up in bed and asked Mason, "Why are you in my room?" He explained that he heard me screaming and calling out from my room. He knocked on the door several times, but I didn't answer, so he used the emergency passkey to check if I was okay. Confused, I asked, "You knocked on the door? Why didn't I hear that? I would have woken up or answered the door," Mason said. "Maybe you were having a bad dream or nightmare." I was puzzled and asked, "But why were you walking around my room with a torch?" Then he said, "We had a fuse problem. I'm sorry if I scared you. I just wanted to check if you were okay." Mason explained. He said he needed to fix the fuse board and hoped I would have a peaceful night's sleep. Then he turned and left the room. Something didn't feel right. I couldn't believe I would sleep through someone banging on my door like that, and why was he moving around my bed so quietly? A moment later, the lights came back on, and I heard a scream from downstairs. I quickly got dressed and opened my door to see what was happening. I called out for Mason, "What's happening? Can you hear me?" Unsure of what to do, I decided to go downstairs to Mason's room. As I entered, I called out again, "Mason, are you there?" But there was no response. Inside the room, I saw lots of books scattered on the floor and a half-eaten pizza on the table with empty beer cans on the floor. The walls had old bookshelves, and there was a half-open metal door on the other side of the room. I walked over and found Mason lying on the floor near a ladder. It seemed like he had fallen while trying to reach a fuse board on the wall. The fuse board door was open, and it looked like he had slipped and had an accident. I think that when Mason turned the fuse back on, he might have gotten a shock or slipped on the ladder and fell to the floor. I checked to see if he was unconscious and not seriously hurt. While doing that, I noticed a black curtain covering another part of the room. Curiosity got the better of me, so I decided to look behind it, and what I found filled me with terror. There were three screens on the wall. One showed the bathroom and shower area, which I had used that night. The other two screens showed my bed area and eating space. I also saw recording equipment used to keep the footage. It was frightening to realize that Mason had been secretly recording me. I immediately called the police, and they arrived quickly along with an ambulance to help Mason. Once Mason regained consciousness, and the medics checked him, the police arrested him. I had to give a statement to the police, and they brought in another team to examine the recording equipment. Shockingly, they found footage of four other women who had rented rooms from him in the past 2 years. All these women were completely unaware that he had secretly recorded them in their bedrooms and bathrooms. It turned out that Mason had lied about having a wife and a son in college. It was all part of his cover story to seem like a normal person. But in reality, he was a sick and twisted individual. The police believed that him coming into my room that night was a new step for him, and it could have led to something worse, like an assault. Fortunately, my reaction of shouting at him might have stopped him in his tracks, so he made up the lie about me screaming and him trying to help. He was found guilty based on all the evidence, and he got a prison sentence, which made me feel relieved. But even now, whenever I rent a place, I spend hours checking for hidden cameras to make sure I'm safe. I want to be careful and make sure my privacy is protected. Thankfully, he was found guilty and got the punishment he deserved. Bought a probably stolen radar detector for $300 under MSRP from a drunk drug addict, in the middle of the night, in a bad neighborhood, and didn't think it was a bad idea until it was well and over with. My old hobby used to be collecting and testing radar detectors. At one point I had 5 detectors, a laser jammer, and 2 radar guns. Total collection cost was well over $1,000. I spent a lot of time searching Craigslist for good deals. I found one model that retailed for around $350 for sale for $60, so I immediately jumped on the deal. I called the person up, set up a meeting time at their house, and off I went. The neighborhood was in the middle of St. Paul, Minnesota, and I was born and raised in a fairly nice, no crime, suburb. Very naive. I get to the address and the lights are off. I call the number and it rings to a totally different person I spoke with earlier. They told me to go around the back of the building and knock on the door at the bottom of the stairs. So around I go. I get to the door, and it's a basement apartment, so there's only one way in or out, and there I am at this door with a weak-ass little flickering light bulb. I bang on the door and hear a massive dog barking, but not much else. I bang again, and eventually this very small, skinny, skittish woman answers the door and asks me in. I sit in her nasty living room or kitchen while she rummages through a bag looking for the detector. She's pulling out digital cameras, cell phones, all sorts of random electronics, while trying to sell me each of those also, each comes with a story of where she got them. Cousin's camera, kid's phone, neighbor's whatever, and so on. She finally finds it, and tells me the price, which was $15 higher than we had agreed before I came. I did have the presence of mind not to bring more cash than I needed, and she was insistent on the full price. So she offers to drive me to a gas station where I can get cash. Sure, why not, I think. We pull up to a Super America full of gangbanger looking people being very loud, and the cashier is yelling back at them through inch-thick glass saying that it's time to close and they gotta get out. Where I came from, all Super Americas were open 24/7 and had never had a barrier between the customer and the cashier. Cash is had, back in her car, and I'm thinking, sweet, time to go back so I can get my loot, but she had other things planned. We head off to a liquor store a few blocks away, and she runs and grabs a bottle of something, and we take off again. We then pull up to someone else's house or apartment, and she runs off again and comes back about 10 minutes later, and we head out. We finally get back to her apartment, and she hands me the detector. I hop in my car, test it out, thank her, then leave. It wasn't until I was halfway home where I realized how shady and dangerous what I'd just done was. I could have easily been robbed multiple times that night. Best thing was, I didn't tell anyone where I was going either, so if something had happened to me, no one would have known where to look. Perhaps I'm overreacting. Something happened today that I want to share and hear thoughts on. A friend forwarded me a Craigslist ad for some dolls with a decent amount of extras. I collect dolls, for $50, an exceptionally good price for how much stuff it was. I emailed and got no response, so thought, oh well, someone beat me to it. At 9:45 p.m. I got an email saying, sorry, I've been out all day, when can you pick up? Sent from an iPhone. I responded I could pick up tomorrow, what time and where. Got no response, so went to bed. The next morning I was dragging from the time change, so don't check my email until 10 a.m. There was an email from the person saying I waited at the chapel school 10 minutes and you're not here, so I'm leaving. Sent from an iPhone. I write back that I'm very sorry, I didn't get any emails last night before going to bed and just got up, I didn't know I had an appointment. I'm happy to come by your home if that's convenient, it's a 30 minutes drive. She emails back, it's fine, can meet me in an hour at the school. I googled it to find there are two chapel schools in that town, so emailed asking which one it is. Deafening silence, no response. Since I already stood her up once and potentially missed this fantastic deal I was going, so jumped in my car and emailed again saying which school I picked of the two listed and I was on my way. I get there, it's the weekend so the school is closed. I never got any return email specifying which exact school it was, so hoped it was the right one. Within 5 minutes a black SUV pulls up next to me with a pleasant looking couple in their late 30s and two large dogs in the back seat. The guy is driving, he stays in the driver's seat. The woman gets out holding a large closed box. She says I can look through it if I want as I hand her $50. The woman is still talking, we're standing at the right front fender of her SUV. I see the guy get out of the car and walk to the back of the vehicle. I thought he was maybe checking on the dogs from the back hatch, but no, he walks around the rear of the vehicle and comes up behind me, in my blind spot. I turn to look at him with a startled look because it's so odd. He has a blank-looking half-smile on his face and won't make eye contact. My skin started to crawl, I got that sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach. I became acutely aware of there being not another soul around. There was no reason for him to have gotten out of the car, the transaction was over. They had effectively trapped me between the two vehicles. I threw the box in the car while keeping an eye on the guy and bolted out of there. If his intent had been to keep his wife safe during the transaction, why did he wait until the money had been exchanged to get out of the car? And why go the long way around the whole car to come up behind me, when the shortest distance to his wife was around the front we were closest to? Who goes to the trouble of loading two big dogs in a SUV for a 3-minute ride? It appeared they lived close by since she was so willing to make a second appointment when I didn't show to the first. I think the dogs were meant to be a distraction. I honestly wonder if this was a dry run for a kidnapping and they got cold feet when they saw I would not be an easy target. It was seriously creepy. I'm not the type of person who sees danger behind every tree, there was definitely something off about the whole thing. In 1978, Rick Schaffer and his friend, Dan F., were on a fishing trip. They had traversed Mount Hood and were descending along Highway 26 around 3 a.m. when they witnessed a large, black creature crossing the highway in a southwestern direction. This sighting occurred approximately 2 miles south of the Highway 26 to 35 junction, T4S or 9 ESEC. 6, in Oregon. I live in 10 Mile, Tennessee. One night, about 4 months ago, I was sleeping on a couch. I went into a state of a dream. I dreamed I was levitated to a spaceship that looked like the Millennium Falcon somewhat. I could see the ship and an aperture like a camera opened. I was laid on a cold metal slab and everything went dark. I woke up and had a fever and burn holes in my right rib cage. The burns looked like cigarette burns, but there were 7 burns arranged like an X with 2 at the top and 2 on the sides, perfectly symmetrical. I was very sick for about 2 weeks. It seemed that they took something from my mind. I was somewhat deranged for months. Then I began reading minds. And others could read my mind. I think they implanted an alien source soul, if you will, to think things, to change certain elements of things going on Earth and people, especially people in power of events such as presidents, dictators, and military rulers. It rotted out almost all my teeth and created loud star sounds and loud roars that can even alter weather patterns like God, if you will. They keep exchanging my personality with various people on TV. I know this sounds crazy, but I was a 99th percentile genius in high school and am now a geodesic engineer and have made designs to change the planet's energy system. I now go into living dreams at night. They tell me that my IQ goes to 200 as I live in the dream. I have spirits to attend to me 24/7. It is so weird. I was only an electrician, motorcycle mechanic, and a mechanical engineering student. I sometimes can still use telepathy to communicate with people and they freak out. I think they did something to me and used me to reprogram certain other people, and I don't know if it will stop. I think that I need help.